Blog Talk Radio.
This is episode 100. So let's start the conversation today with Planned Parenthood tonight and see where it goes. It's 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Pacific, the same time every week, Wednesday nights. So I have said this might be my last show for a little while, maybe take a break, but I don't know if I keep having issues to talk about, so I might just keep going on, but it's just once a week. This is 100th episode, and it's called The Philosophy Show, and it's a call-in show. I want you to call in, engage, let's talk about something interesting, and we can both contribute to that. So, and if we talk about something else significant, I can change the title later for the archives. So this is about your calls, love, advice, life, events, news, science, the unknown, conspiracies, quotes, reviews, different things. And of course, the title is called The Philosophy Show. So we can look at Planned Parenthood in a philosophical way, because what we're hearing about is there's some debate nationally about Planned Parenthood and the Democrats supporting it's and typically, and the Republicans typically not supporting it, and some variations between. There are some Republicans that do, and vice versa. But I think there was some kind of scandal or something, or about money or something, as there might be once in a while in some of these nonprofit organizations. But I mean, honestly, I mean, if you think about the title, Planned Parenthood, instead of unexpected, life-changing, difficult accidents, so it's planned, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, some people criticize it for many different reasons. Some say it's, they don't like it for abortion, and, I think there's a certain percentage that they get each year for government funds, so they are a private organization. They're not a government agency, but they do get some funds allocated each year from the national budget to from the government to Planned Parenthood. And so my initial reaction is I think it's probably a good thing. I mean, nowadays, maybe at the beginning there was maybe a hints of eugenics in it, but I think overall people planning for the future, making ready that they have the income and the resources to take care of, bring someone else in life and the stable family and et cetera. I think that's a good thing. And I think honestly, a lot of Democrats say, or people who support it, I'll say, I don't want to say Democrats because they're all just, I wish we didn't have political parties, honestly. I'm just an independent myself, and But some say it actually might save money because if you prevent a lot of, out of wed or whatever childbirths and stuff that might, be unwanted at particular times before you bring someone into society or have an abortion, then it's preventative and it saves society, money. So maybe it pays for itself, possibly. I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know their budget, and I don't, there might be some things that could be wasteful, but so my initial reaction is that, it's a good organization typically, or what their stated at least goals are, and they have every right to do what they want. My initial reaction is no government, no private organization should get any government funds, I don't think. That way we have a level playing field and people should donate But I do think, you know, there could be an argument where, you know, if it pays for itself, we have to see. I don't know. I mean, either that or everyone gets some kind of grants who has a nonprofit organization. You know, so it has to be anyone who wants to start a nonprofit organization will get a certain amount based on, you know, what they contribute and, you know, for a few years and or something. I don't know. But it would have to be where everyone could if they decide to start one up where no one does. So, and I'm not necessarily opposed to everyone getting that necessarily, but I mean, there's a principle of fairness because who knows, there might be other organizations that are just as good or if not better. And some, you know, and they should have a, we don't want to hinder them. Maybe they should get the money too. Maybe they're just like it, you know, but just called something else and have different staff and people. But it's interesting. Donald Trump kind of spoke up for it. He was one of the Republicans that did. And so, I don't know, if you want to call in and tell me your thoughts about it. I mean, you know what? You might think this sounds crazy, but it's just it's sometimes like, you know, this is free thinking zone here. And there's some things you just can't deny. Like if you have something that you've vetted in your mind, now you've refined it and it's time to take it public to see if it can stand up to the scrutiny of philosophy and other people's perspectives. I think it'd be much better for poor women, poor men, everybody, if we had a public option for money. So instead of we're giving money to Planned Parenthood, we're giving money through grants to military industry companies. I mean, we spend more than the next 25 biggest armies in the world combined. I mean, half of our budget, it seems like, is the military, if you include the wars and then all these extra things that they add on in the middle of the year, and then there's black budgets. And, I mean, you know, that's a huge part of our budget. Now, we should have the biggest, I would say, like twice as much as whoever is the next one or whatever we need. I mean, there could be certain circumstances for different things. I think we should put a lot more of it into outer space. Personally, but we, as long as we have a way to ultimately defend ourselves, I mean, we can destroy the whole world many times over. You know, we have to have our elite forces and our regular forces, but honestly, there is so much waste in there, and it's not a level playing field. I mean, there's all different groups. Like, it seems like I was looking at some budgeting numbers the other day. I mean, I think about half the budget is like, we're not a half, but about a third of the budget is contracts to private companies. I mean, about a third of the economy is the government paying contractors, and about 1% of the population works for the government. And in a sense, you could say that individual is an employee, but they're also kind of a contractor. So if you count, you know, all of that, it's, and if you look at the whole population of U.S., I mean, there's a lot of kids, a lot of people that are elderly. So, you know, if you look at the actual workforce, that might be about 200 million. So if you have about 3 million that are government employees, and then a third of our budget that gets, you know, businesses that, well, some businesses might get smaller contracts, some get enough that set them for life, basically, and make them a powerhouse company. And, you know, with that big budget that they get, that big contract for billions of dollars, who's to say that they can't start using that money to just have a revolving door of buying politicians and stuff, so they always are at the top of the list for the next contract, and then they become a dynasty, per se. And so, you know, so they're increasing the percentage. They're they're concentrating the money supply, you know. So how do you think money is created into the system? I mean, we really have to look at system. I know a lot of people think, oh, if you talk about the Federal Reserve or money, then you're some libertarian or whatever. Well, let's talk about money for a little bit, but I kind of have a different perspective than what you think might be used to. And this would be good for women, men, everyone. So here's the theory of money. I mean, how money is created into the system. I mean, there's a couple ways. One way is like by bringing goods, or you could discover a sunken treasure chest that had a bunch of gold coins. That would definitely bring value and objects into the system to trade and you know, services. You know, there's lots of ways to transact. I mean, and people do it every day by agreeing and working together. And but I'm talking about, you know, what we typically think about as money. It's created by the Federal Reserve, most of it. And it's created through all the different banks. So when someone takes out a loan, the bank gets whatever deposit that person does who takes out the loan. Usually you have to put a deposit in the bank and then ask for a loan, right? And let's say you get a loan for, let's say you put a deposit of $10,000, and the bank really can up that 10 times over. And then now the bank has $100,000 that it has supposedly in some kind of virtual reserves that it can use to invest in other things like that. And then so it invests that in the stock market. So it invests it in different companies that are publicly traded. And then the person pays it back with interest. So the bank makes money on that. And so where does the bank get this authority? It gets the authority from the Federal Reserve. And so that's how all money is created. It's all created by creating, most of it's created by creating debt. I mean, I think there's also bonds that the government sells directly to individuals. And then money is also created through supposedly, you know, with all this, because the money has been around so long, we don't think that most of it's, you know, there's a lot of companies that have a lot of capital. Well, that has built up over time. We transitioned from a gold-backed system to the system we have now. And let's talk, you know, we're going to bring this Planned Parenthood and economics all, bring it all together. And so the good thing about gold is not gold itself, or that it looks nice and shiny and that's, you know, whatever. It's, you know, it doesn't tarnish over time. Although those are good values and are using a lot of circuitry, et cetera, and who knows what else. But gold is, it can't be bought out. It can't sell out. I mean, it can't, you know, succumb to lobbyists. It's like a robot. I mean, it's programmed. It is what it is, and there's no manipulating it. If you're transparent and honest, I mean, it just is what it is, and you can measure it in ounces. And so if you have 10 times more than, let's say you had 1 ounce of gold, it's worth $1,000. And so if you're a bank and you're holding that $1,000, now the bank feels like it can lend 10 times more than that, because most people aren't going to take their money out all at once. But so this whole system, there's a lot of the money. I would say about, like, our national yearly budget is about $2.5 trillion a year, something like that. And that's paid for, well, there's a lot of it. I don't know if I have to look more into whether Social Security. I think, yeah, that includes Social Security and Medicare. And that's almost like, I don't know, almost half of it. And those have their own separate taxes to pay for those. Those are not part of the right. So you have three taxes, your federal taxes, income tax, your Social Security, and your Medicare. And they're both three tax different. If you look at your, you know, stub, your payment stub, I mean, it has three different things for the federal. And so federal income taxes, Social Security, and Medicare, they both are taken separate. They, you know, supposedly it's the Social Security and Medicare are in their own budgets. They're not, but a lot of people, when they say the yearly budget, do include them in there in that pie charts. But so those take care of themselves. So if you take those out, you know, you might have like a $1 trillion budget, and about half of that goes to the military, half a trillion dollars a year, more than the next top 25 countries combined. Plus, that's not including the wars and then the sequesters or things that are added in the middle of the year because they always ask for more. It's not including any black budgets. It's probably $1 trillion a year. And then the rest is like, you know, Environmental Protection Agency and stuff like that. And employees, there's, what, about 3 million non-uniformed employees. You know, we're spending that much on everything. We'll still have to hire employees, but you know how much it would, well, I think we could have a trickle-up system. And we, you know, all these programs that we have, you know, maybe you could get rid of Social Security completely. And I'll tell you how. You should probably keep Medicare. And you should make it a public option that's voluntary. And make it a price that only costs as much as it is to operate it. Nothing extra for executive salaries or advertising. You know, let it buy in bulk and save money on prescriptions or whatever. And not pay these outrageous prices. Let it bargain for cheaper prices than the market average because it's buying in bulk instead of paying $5 for a Tylenol. It should be just the opposite. It should be cheaper than it would normally be if things were working right, right? So let it not be like, you know, something to, you know, siphon special favors with special interests from, like a well of, you know, I know this money tree, but you don't. So we really want to even playing field. And on the principle of, you know, everyone should have, I believe, in a, if you think about a civilized society in the future, everyone should have an equal start as much as possible. I mean, nothing's perfect, but as much as possible. And we can kind of common sense, you know, we're all equal under the law, but no guaranteed results. I mean, some people will become Bill Gates. Some people, you know, well, it depends on, in a good society, you know, it'd be hard to find people too down on their luck, I think. And what I'm saying here is, public option money system, the Federal Reserve should be, and if you don't want to participate in it, you don't have to. So we have a census, and we have everyone who has a Social Security number. Instead of the IRS taking your money every year, once a year they deposit into your bank accounts $25,000. Now, if you want to put that money into a bank and collect interest and let them invest it for you and hold it for you, which is probably a smart idea, then it'll be you deciding which banks to put it in, and then that'll be competition based on the ones that can best handle it and get you a little return on it, keep it in a safe place so, you know, someone doesn't steal all your savings if, God forbid, something bad happened. So it probably is a good idea to have a bank, but this way we're in charge. We're deciding, and we can decide whichever ones we want. We can decide to buy Medicare, a private option, and if a private option doesn't want to accept these galactic credits, you know, I'll just call it that for fun, then, you know, they don't have to. But I believe most people will. And think about it. It's the same thing that's going on now, except just changing the people who it's going to first. You know, and for the military, the government can allocate a certain percentage every year based on the population of, you know, having a military. And so it would cost about, I don't know, for 200 million people, that's a work, I mean, people over 18, about 217 million. You know, I think it's about $3 to $4 trillion a year. And now if you wanted to make more, do extra work, you wouldn't even have to have a minimum wage, because everyone would at least get this. You would eliminate poverty. At least people would have this amount. There wouldn't be inflation, because there wouldn't be any more money in the system of these credits. It's kind of like Bitcoin, except it's bringing it into real life. But it's also something, the Federal Reserve, we have a public option for health. We have a public option for mail. You know, what's funny is a lot of libertarians put down the post office. It's like one of their favorite punching bags. But it's the only government organization that's completely voluntary and completely pays for itself. And you would think that would be the Republicans, you know, that would be the example of a government program they would want, if they were really true to their principles and not hypocrites and just blowing smoke out there. You know what? I mean, argue me differently. Call in and tell me how that's not consistent. And so get it, you know, break out of this whatever box that you're in. You know, it's like the people who are the open thinkers, now they're the gatekeepers of being in their own box, you know. And so I have a little bit, I think there should be a public option. Medicare is a public option. It's just limited to what age you are. And you do have to pay taxes on it. It's not voluntary. I think it should be. I mean, if you're going to get $25,000 a year, you don't need Social Security anymore. It would be a stable currency. And I think a lot of other countries that we trade with would really respect it. It has more integrity than the system we have now. Since 1974, our dollars have not been backed by gold. Since 1974. So we've been doing this for 40 years. Okay, so it can work. The only reason you need gold is because gold can't be manipulated. You can't borrow more money than 10 times more than what you have reserves in gold. So it prevents people from borrowing money to go to wars or spending things. You know, if you have a tighter budget, there's going to be a lot less cronyism, because people really have to spend that money. And that's the whole libertarian, you know, that's not the whole, but that's part of the benefits of having a gold system, because your government only has however much they have in gold. I guess at any one time, and then it gives out loans, you know. So now you might want to apply for a loan for even more. I mean, there's nothing in this system saying you have to limit yourself to $25,000. It's just standard point. You don't even have to use this. If you're like, I don't want this junk government money, don't take it, you know. But most people will, and we're doing the same thing now. We've had a system for 40 years that's not backed by gold. We've tried a trickle-down system. This is more capitalistic. Because it's a more level playing field, and it totally allows for competition and people working themselves to the top. You know, the people that provide the better services will still get most of the people's money so they can reinvest it. So it rewards the people who should be rewarded. So this is not, and it's not giving you programs. Like, the government is like someone who only gives you gift cards and they tell you where you have to spend this money. What we should have is the money itself be the public option. What could be more important than the money? It's even more important than having a Medicare public option or post office. If there's one thing, our defense is a public option because we value it very important. The judicial system is a public option, you know, and I'm not saying it should be. It's, you know, but so it could be more important than a nation's money, you know. And now I think it should be allowed to compete, and that's another libertarian argument. This is where I agree. Let there be competition. If you want to trade in gold coins and all that, so this is where they can't oppose it. They can't because they're not taxed. They're actually offered this, and so it what? So this is free money? No, this is civilized. This is ahead of its time. This is justice, mercy. It's your duty to vote. It's your duty to vote in the marketplace with this $25,000, because by your voting on giving people who invent new things and provide different services, you actually are going to be able to vote in the marketplace. And everyone will at least have a certain start. Now, some people might start accumulating a whole lot. I mean, but, you know, I mean, it will be totally free, and they might accept different forms of payments. This is no different than really Bitcoin, except, well, in Bitcoin you mine for things. And this one, you start out with a certain amount, but like the game of Monopoly, but you mine for certain things. You sell different products and offer different things. I don't know. I just think this is more civilized. I've thought about it like thinking, like, am I crazy here? Is there, like, I must be missing something. This sounds, you know, like the next evolution in economics. It's not socialism. It's not completely capitalism, but it has more capitalistic aspects about a equal playing field, you know, voting in the marketplace, no cronyism, complete competition. You know, it's a public option. That's how we have to think of government's public option. But I do think we should have a public option. I think it's a good idea. And I think like 98% of people would participate. What gives it its integrity is its transparency and its solidness. The gold will be not creating any more than $25,000 per person. There's no inflation there, really. And, you know, so, and it allows for, if there's going to be better things, to be done. So, I mean, if there's competition, great. So, and it doesn't tell you how you should spend it. I mean, that's what, and so the Republicans are no more socialist than anyone else. They're just giving it to different people. It's what we've been doing for the last 40 years, but instead of giving it to 1%, why should they get it? So let's, you know why it hasn't quite worked right in the last 40 years, but we are still afloat, even though it's like things are getting bad, is because we need to turn it around. I mean, government should work for us. It's we, the people, etc. This is an idea, and you have to, it takes about a half an hour to explain it. So, you know, women, men, everyone would be able to afford whatever they want. And so we wouldn't have to worry about minimum wage and all that. Because we should, if you want to work for someone to do this and that, you can work for whatever you want. At least you have this. I mean, we would just need some little laws here and there for, you know, some environmental things and for defense and stuff like that. It's 90 seconds remaining. I don't know. Can you give me a logical argument about this? I know you're thinking in your guts, this sounds too good to be true. But an idea whose time has come, an idea is not going to be stopped if it's a good idea. It's either a good idea or it's not. And the only thing that can stop it is a better idea. And so do you have one? And tell me how this isn't going to work. Because I don't think you can. And so, you know, after you've listened to this whole thing, I mean, it doesn't need guilt by association on other ideas. This idea is its own. Anyways, we'll talk to you later. Give us a call next week. This is a call-in show if you want to talk. And so take care. And thanks for listening to The Philosophy Show.
Clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.